Welcome to the Innovator Stories podcast of the Philips Innovation Award. In this episode, I speak with Beren de Klerk, co-founder of Plens Technologies and winner of the Rough Diamond Award at the Philips Innovation Award 2023. And you'll learn all about measuring the inner working of plants, the importance of tough love from critical advisors, and how to make the most of a competition like FIA. My name is Lars Kramer, and I'm thrilled to introduce Berend to you. Berend is on a mission to revolutionize the agriculture industry. With a master in high-tech engineering and a master in management of technology, he founded Plens Technologies together with Thijs Bieling. And they use a patented technology with smart sensing devices that literally listen to plants. You heard that right. And they turn that data into information for growers to work on. Welcome, Berend. Great to have you here.
Thank you for having me.
So now for the older people listening to this podcast, they might remember an old man called Robert Redford. He played the horse whisperer with a remarkable gift for understanding horses. So are you the new Robert Redford, but then for plants? In short, are you the plant whisperer?
We've been known to be called the plant whisperers, indeed.
Yeah. Okay, yeah. See?
But that sounds a little bit vague. It's more scientific than that. Okay. But you can call me whatever you like.
Okay, cool. So we'll get into the details of that. I'm really excited to have you here. We spoke when you were pitching at the last event last year, 2023.
Yes.
Great to have you here also to dive into your journey since, because your company has been developing and growing. So we're going to dive right in. But we start with four statements that you can answer with true or false.
All right.
Are you ready?
Yes.
We are primarily a hardware company.
False.
2 years of entrepreneurship taught me more than 7 years in uni.
True. Yeah.
We are a solution in search of a problem to solve.
Very true.
True. There we go. And the final one, I must admit, the plants in my student dorm didn't make it.
Some made it.
Okay. So you've been killing plants in your dorm. We'll get to that. Yeah. You are building a remarkable company. You provide crop growers in greenhouses with smart sensing devices to basically help them grow the plants. That sounds super sophisticated and important. Maybe take us back to your origin story. Can you take us back to the inspiration behind Plens and how do you get started on working on this idea?
Yeah, of course. We're a spin-off from university. So there was a collaboration between Wageningen University and Research and Delft University of Technology. And I got involved during my master's thesis. I helped with the development of the technology. And then at one point, I got a call from my professor. And he asked, do you want to bring this to market in the form of a startup company together with Thijs?
And was it the technology, or was that what was the this part?
Yeah, the technology, the patents that they have, but it was still a little bit vague what it exactly was, but something about listening to plants.
Okay.
And together with Thijs, and I met Thijs once before, so we got together, we grabbed coffee, and we're like, okay, what the hell? What are we gonna do? So we enrolled for a course. Called Ready to Startup, which is formed by Yes Delft students, which teaches you all about entrepreneurship. And we got so excited that we finished our masters and we said, yeah, let's go for it. We got some small funding from the NWO, and that's basically the first half year of our starting, where we got excited about entrepreneurship, but we still didn't know what we were going
to
do.
Okay, it was the early days. Yes. But then going back to the plants in your dorm room, what happened to those? Were they part of that process?
Yeah, they were part of the process. It was actually the stage before this even. Okay. So I had some plants at home during Corona because it was a lot in my room. And I like nature, so I bought a lot of plants. But some of them died and I just didn't know, do they need more irrigation? Do they need less irrigation? Like, this can be more convenient. So again, it was Corona, so I also had a lot of free time. So I sort of made my own irrigation system with soil sensors and an Arduino. And that sort of sparked my interest into plants and how this could be done. And then I stumbled upon a research project for my master thesis that had all the courses I liked. So signal analysis and data analysis. But it was also on plants. And I was like, that's a bit vague, but let's give it a go. So that's actually indeed where it actually started.
Super interesting to make the connection between nature and what happens in nature, and then all these sophisticated advanced analytics and understanding. We'll get into the details on how that works. Right. But I think as we all learn, and probably also people competing in the Philips Innovation Award learn, that you have to start with a customer first, right? So understanding what is the problem of the customer. So your primary customers are growers, right? So yes, can you maybe paint the picture? What is your ideal customer and what is their problem?
So indeed, our customers are growers. Well, we actually have three types of customers, but let's today dive into the growers. And what they do, they go into the greenhouse and they take a look around. And with their expertise, they just know how to steer the greenhouse, right? They look into the color of the plant, the thickness of the leaf, like the they take all kinds of measurements that are mainly subjective, and they have a hard time also explaining what it is they look for. But they've become very, very good at growing our crops. Mm. But there's also a scarcity of these growers. So our goal is really to help growers scale. Mm-hmm. So by collecting data about the plants, basically let the plant run the greenhouse so that the grower also has time for different stops. Different stuff. But that's our end goal, and that's not the real issue right now. The grower doesn't have an issue that he's becoming scarce. So we've looked into the real issues that they're facing today, and that's more about the rising energy prices. Mm. So how can we save energy while still producing our crops? Because if you put too few or too less energy into your greenhouse, then your crop is going to go bad. It's going to have quality issues. So they really want to grow on the edge, if you will. And we want to help them find this edge.
Nice. So, and then you're saying, so how did you approach that? How did you just go to those growers and say, hey, hi, I'm a startup. I want to have, you know, insight in what you, how did you approach that?
Yeah, so when we just finished our masters and we said, okay, let's go for this. We had two coaches, Alex and Erik, and they wanted to help us in mentoring. And we came to them and we said, oh, we're going to do all this great scientific stuff and with ultrasound, and we're going to measure crops. And they say, stop whatever you're doing and get yourselves a real job. And we were like very surprised, like, what the hell? I thought we were going to build a startup company and develop the product. And then, no, you're going to get yourself a job at a greenhouse facility because you don't know anything about your customer. Mm-hmm. They said, shovel dirt, I don't care, but get yourself a job into a greenhouse company. So that's what we did. We put a message on LinkedIn, got a lot of views. And then a few weeks later, we were basically planting seeds inside a greenhouse company just to learn about the problems that our customers face.
Wow.
It was very good advice from our mentors.
Great advice and a great hack. So did you get paid for the job as well?
No, we didn't. Okay. No. So that's a recommendation from my older self or my younger self. Indeed, get paid, because we actually also solved a problem within this internship of 2 weeks, where we designed also some sort of clamping mechanism to rise potted plants, but it was sort of in return for them helping us out.
Well, anyway, in the end, they gave you a lot of insights. Exactly. So they paid in insights. Very nice. Nice approach. Well, then get into your solution, because there's people out there now listening, like, what? Listening to plants, the plant whisperer, what is all this weird stuff? Without getting too technical, can you maybe explain in general, how does your solution work?
Yeah, so we use ultrasonics to measure inside crops. You can look at it at the same way as we use ultrasound for babies. We put a probe on your belly, and then you can see what's going on inside your belly and see how the baby develops.
Right.
And we use a similar technique where we basically send ultrasonic waves inside crops. And as the plant is evaporating getting drought, the internal structure changes. So there's less water in it, or there's more tension on the tubes that transport the water. And as these internal structure changes, the vibration changes as well. And that's what we measure. So we basically measure the vibration. And then with advanced algorithms, we translate this into useful information, such as how much transpiration is going on.
Wow. And that's kind of checking the stress of the plant, or at least how it's responding to its environment.
Yeah.
And then the growers obviously can use that data to optimize the growth in the end.
Indeed.
Yeah. But how do you know if what you're measuring makes sense at all? You cannot ask a plant how he's doing.
Yeah, that's a very, very good question. Also, because what we're doing is very new. We're the first in the world to commercially use ultrasound to monitor what plants are doing. But since this hasn't been done before, you also don't know if it works or not, because you get some sort of data, but how do you know what it actually means if there's no way of monitoring?
Yeah.
Because if that already would exist to validate your measurement, yeah, then you wouldn't have a reason to live as a company.
Yeah.
Because then it would already exist. Mm-hmm. And that's sort of, yeah, a very paradoxic thing that we're working on. But we now use all kinds of different technologies like heat cameras and sap flow meters to get some insights in what the crop is doing.
Cool.
And hopefully, we'll learn more about what plants can tell us.
Getting that together. We mentioned Thijs in the introduction, your co-founder. You're both from a technical university, so anybody outside got like, ooh, two techies as a founder in a company. Mm-hmm. How does it work? Did you balance?
Yeah, so from day one, we made a distinguishment in our roles. And since I also have a business background, we said, yeah, I'm going to focus on business development so that Thijs can focus on technology development. And we made a very clear distinguishment in that. And of course, sometimes, for example, today I help with technology development because, we have some pilots lined up and we now need to get the tech ready. So I'm still a little bit flexible, but my responsibilities are within business.
Commerce. Okay. So yeah. You do commerce and he does technical. Cool. Berend in business, Thijs in technical stuff. Mm-hmm.
Indeed.
There we go. Before we go to FIA and what you learned, et cetera, there's one thing I'm also curious about. Are you already in the space where you've figured out your business model? So how do you, in the end, plan to get revenues out of your business?
We have several options, but we first want to focus on what is it that we can measure and for what kind of application. So I mentioned for the Dutch growers, it's all about saving energy. The opposite is true for example, in Spain, where they all experience heat stress and want to know which crops react best to heat waves, for example. So we're going to do different pilots to learn about the different problems, but also the different solutions that we can provide. And from that onwards, we can sort of choose a direction where we want to go. Mm. And with that comes the business model. But in the end, I think we're going to sell the data. So it's not really a hardware company. We sell data. We're also not going to do build a dashboard or only software. So it's sort of a combination. And in the end, we want to plug into existing systems because they already exist.
Right. So on the data, that's where the primary part of your business model will be. And then you might supply some of the technology because it's necessary to get the data.
Exactly.
Yeah. Cool. You've been successful in committing partners. You've committed funding from the Dutch Research Council, Rabobank Impact Fund, the RVO, an IT R&D grants and some first paying customers. Can you explain what role these organizations played in your journey and how you approached them?
The organizations that funded us, you mean? Mm-hmm. You need funding to hire people, also to pay ourselves. so they really helped us. But what you really want to stress is the Rabobank Impact Fund. Mm. That was a fund like a subsidy or like a grant, so it was free money of 25k. And we went over there to pitch. You first had to hand in a pitch deck, and then you had to pitch. And we were like, okay, it's a Rabobank, so it's going to be all like investors or at least like bankers, right? They want to talk about money and the rest is less important.
Show me the numbers.
Exactly. Yeah. So we prepared a little bit and talked how much money we would save for a grower, etc. And then after the pitch, we were looking around and first we had this woman that looked into us and she was silent for a while. And then she said, yeah, you don't recognize me. And I looked at Thijs, and at one point Thijs yelled, radish. And it turned out it was a radish grower that we actually interviewed during our customer discovery phase to learn more about their problem. But she was in her overalls, and we didn't recognize her. Now she was very, she had a nice blazer. She was very sharply dressed. And it turned out that the whole audience was like people from Glastuinbouw Nederland, so horticulture, the Netherlands, and growers, and people who really understood the market and the problems that these people faced. And we had the person from Glastuinbouw Nederland. He was saying, it's nice, but it's so much bullshit in your story, and this is wrong, and that is wrong, and I was. Well, quite surprised, of course. But in the end, we actually got the funding with the note that they said, you get it, but follow up on this conversation with this guy from Horticulture Netherlands,
right?
Because he has a lot of insights, and he's still we talked with him every once in a while, and he really pushes us on the right track. I think the advice that came with the money is even more appreciated than the money itself.
Right, making sure that you have critical advisors
exactly
in your surroundings who really understand this world that you're operating.
Yeah, and dare to say that something is bullshit in your story.
Yeah, but that's hard, right? If you're a founder, you're always dedicated to making it work, and then somebody tells you.
Yeah, of course. Yeah, it's not nice to hear, but that's what you need to look for. Some people that say stuff that's not nice to hear.
Yeah. Cool. Yeah, you probably read the book, The Mom Test.
Of course. Kind of, I read understand. It three times.
Three times. Oh, you had to read it three times.
Yeah.
Cool. Great advisors. And then the other ones, because you said Rabobank was a 25k grant. Mm-hmm. How have you funded the rest? Because you've been running now since, depends on when you start, right? Since 2023. When did you?
Yeah. So we incorporated 1 year ago.
Yeah.
But we were running through the Westland already for half a year then.
Yeah. Okay.
So the first funding that we got was from the NWO, the Takeoff One, which is a subsidy of 40k.
Okay.
You can get it to really learn if there's a problem out there for your solution.
Okay.
That's really where we did the internship with the greenhouse company.
Yeah.
We interviewed many growers, breeders, we got some really great insights. Also some things that, were bullshit.
Yeah.
And then we applied for the Takeoff 2, which is a loan of 250k.
Yeah.
To really hire the first people and to really have a bit of a larger horizon instead of the 40 initial K.
Okay.
And indeed some subsidies
as well.
Yeah.
And was it hard to convince these people to invest in you, both the loan and the grant?
So for Rabobank, I'm not sure what they really thought, but with the advice, I think they saw that we were taking their feedback into account.
Yeah.
So they saw that we were perhaps not on the exact right track, but with this feedback, we would get there.
Ah.
And for the NWO, I'm not sure how hard it is to get this money. Up until now, we didn't really have a hard time raising funds, but it's also still, we didn't really have to prove very much.
Yeah.
So the technology is still in development. And if it's, if it might be something, they're eager to fund. But after this, I think it's called the customer discovery or customer validation. Now comes the valley of death. So hopefully in the next 2 years we get enough credibility and we can actually get revenue to see that it's indeed something that investors will fund.
Exciting times ahead. We'll schedule a follow-up podcast after
definitely
to check in, and we'll follow you anyway. Talking about following up, let's talk FIA. So you participated in the Philips Innovation Award. Mm-hmm. And for anybody listening out there and thinking, is this kind of award something for me? Maybe can you share, how did the competition of Philips Innovation Award help you in your business or as a founder?
Yeah. So they have a whole trajectory with coaching moments, and you have to pitch, and you come in contact with a lot of investors. So it's a really good way to get all these things. For example, the investor talks, to speak with a lot of investors and also learn what they care for, what do they want to see in a few years, so that you can also take that into account with your validation process. So you get a lot of advice in that sense. And of course, especially if you win, a lot of publicity and credibility as well, which is also nice. I don't think there were many growers listening. So for example, for our customers, it didn't really help a lot. But for example, with students that want to participate as a working student or employee, it was very helpful.
Right. Visibility gets you out there.
Exactly.
Gives you access to the network. What would be your one piece of advice for aspiring FIA participants? So people that want to compete?
Be critical. Is it the right time to join such a contest? And what do you want to get out of it?
Mm.
So we joined a bit without thought. We thought it might be nice. Something might come out of it. If we had the choice today, I wouldn't join because the two most important tasks for a starting founder, I think, are talking with customers and developing products to validate it with customers. And joining a pitching contest, you learn about pitching, but you're not talking to customers and you're also not building products.
Yeah.
So in the phase that we're now, where we have a lot of pilots that we want to conduct, it might not be the wisest spending of our time.
Right.
So be critical. If it's in line with your focus.
Yeah, I think that's a solid advice to anybody listening, because you can only spend your time once.
Yeah.
So spend it wisely and spend it on what is important for you at that time.
Exactly. I've heard someone say, if you're saying yes to something, it means saying no to something else.
I want to respond with yes now, but, which is very, okay. Great tips, great advice. Before we go to the break, what are the next 6 to 12 months look like for you? What's your biggest challenge?
Yeah, so the biggest challenge, but what we're working on is the pilots, to really learn what can we measure and how can we help the customer solve a problem. So it's really learning about our own data and the interaction with these customer. So that's the main challenge, and from that we'll strategize again.
Cool, nice. Learn from customers, see what happens in the pilots, and then go next phase.
Yeah,
very nice. We'll go to a quick break, and then we'll be back. Welcome back. We're talking to Berend, and we've covered so many parts of your journey. Starting with plants in your dorm room, starting the company with Thijs, learning from these growers, taking a job, and also learning how to grow. As you go forward building those pilots, I think that's super inspiring. One thing we didn't cover is the importance of growers in our society. And we kind of skipped that part a little bit, but I think it's a bit of a hidden part of our world, right? So what would be your takeaway for the world to know about the role of growers in society?
Yeah, so I think in our society, food is really, especially here in the Netherlands, something we take for granted, right? You go to the supermarket and there's just fresh food everywhere. And I also, I didn't realize earlier like how much work goes into the production of this food, and that's really something that the growers taught us, is how much hard work goes into it, and actually how few fame they get for it, right? Yeah. They work 7 days per week. They have a lot of challenges, right, with the energy prices, with diseases, a lot of stuff. And I don't think they get the fame they deserve. And also, if we look at sustainability, especially the last time, the energy consumption of the horticulture is a lot in the news, but they don't talk about the efficiency, for example, about land use. So, for example, in Spain, 1 square meter produces 4 kilograms of tomatoes. Here in the Netherlands, it's 80.
Yeah,
so think about this efficiency and how much land we can save, which we can sort of give back to nature if we take this approach of horticulture.
Yeah.
So I think that's something that's not talked about enough.
It's interesting that you mentioned that, because as Dutch, I think we can take more pride in that. And I think from abroad, people looking at the Netherlands are like, oh, you guys with those greenhouses, it's super sophisticated.
Everybody looks
innovative. We are a super innovative country. And here we are as Dutchies sometimes complaining.
Yeah, everybody looks to the Netherlands, and here in the Netherlands we kind of look away.
Yeah.
And that's, feels weird.
Yeah, so maybe, and that's, I think, a very good addition also why you're doing this, right? So you're transforming an industry. So you're working on transforming an industry.
Yeah.
So support your growers, people. Support your growers. Go out there, check out the growers. Very good. And maybe if you want a job at a grower, go work there, and soon you'll be using the tools of plants technology to optimize your growth.
Very cool.
Yes, yeah. There we go. Next generation of growers growing up. Okay, then it's time for the next part of our conversation, which is listeners' questions, which is always fun because we ask people around us and around you to send in some questions. They can be very random and very specific. So the first question is from Jurgen. His question is, you're also a sailor and a windsurfer. What are the similarities between sailing, windsurfing, and building a company?
Oh, wow. I think... very good question. I think one of the similarities is as a sailor or as a windsurfer, you want to get somewhere, but that could be like half wind, so then you get there easily. But sometimes it's in the wind, and at first it seems impossible to get there because you can't sail in the wind. But one time you discover that if you sail like not in the wind, but
Aan de wind.
Aan de wind.
Close to wind.
Yeah, close to wind. And then you make a pivot and then close aan de wind again. Then you actually get there. So I think that's a nice metaphor to what entrepreneurship is about.
There you go. And every now and then overstag. I don't know what the English word is.
Exactly. Yeah, pivot.
Oh, that's a pivot. There we go. Very good. Nice question, Jurgen. Thank you very much. Yeah. Anita has a question. She asks, oh, this is interesting. A bit off topic, but can plants improve the productivity of entrepreneurs? So this is kind of the other way around, right? Do you have any plants in your office and do they improve your...
We do have a lot of plants in our office. I'm not sure if it increases the productivity. I think we're way too focused on, like, does the sensor, can it be implemented on the plant? So in that sense, yeah, it kind of does. So plants produce our food as well, right? So in that sense, it also, they're needed for entrepreneurship, but just for our society as well.
Yeah, okay, more plants. Then our favorite team of the Philips Innovation Award obviously also has questions. First question, I don't know which one asked which one. I'm just going to say Lola asked this one. She says, the FIA has just launched the first edition of the Find Your Talent Day with the goal to connect talented students to startups. And she said, I believe you have also recently expanded your team. What do you think is more important for the success of a startup, product or team?
Oh, team. Definitely team. Yeah, that's an easy one. Because the team develops the product, but I think we're very fortunate with the people in our team. So I mentioned Thijs as my co-founder. We also recently hired Miranda as a data scientist, and we have some students, and they all do incredibly good with their job, with their work. And without them, we wouldn't come any further. Also, like, people can change. So if your product is bad, you can still sort of change it or develop something else. And you have to have this flexibility. And I think that's very important within your team. For example, if I take Miranda, we hired her as data scientist, but she's now also cloud engineer. It's sort of a flexibility that a product perhaps doesn't have.
Yeah, yeah. So having a good team allows
it's
you to,
very
to move
important.
Around.
Yeah. Yeah.
And the sailboat example, you're on the same boat moving forward. Okay. But is it hard? You mentioned that the Philips Innovation Award helped you with attention for students that want to work for you. Is it still hard to find new people, or do you find it easy still?
It depends. So we're very good contact with Delft. So we're in Yes Delft, mm-hmm. the incubator of the Delft University of Technology. And our professor is still involved. So we have quite some connections with Delft University of Technology, but we also need plant scientists, for example. And that's a little bit further away. It's like a more than 1 hour drive. So we had a hard time connecting with the plant scientists of the Netherlands. And now we found ways to connect with these people. So we're doing, for example, a consulting project with the ACT, it's called, with master students from plant sciences that do some research about our technology. And that's a very nice way to learn, to get to know some students on campus as well, before you actually start hiring. So that's also sort of advice that there are different ways to get to the right people.
Yeah.
But it takes longer than I expected. It's not just sending out a vacancy and just wait for people to respond. No, it takes quite some
effort. You have to work. I think your example is spot on. Finding students to work on your product, and you exchange value already, right? Because they have something to research and work on, and you have the opportunity to get to know them better.
Exactly.
So, I think also as you're growing your business, so I was part of a company growing from 30 to 300, mm-hmm. and we needed econometrists. Which back in the day was a very small group. Mm-hmm. And we did a similar thing. So we asked the professor, what do you need? Data. We provide you data. You get the students. And we hired a few. So it's, I think, keep doing that probably also as you expand going to the next phase. Great question, Lola. Thank you. And we'll send everybody to Find Your Talent Day, the next edition. Final question is also from one of our fantastic FIA people of this year, Sophie. And her question is, does it matter what crop you're growing with the ultrasound sensors?
It does. But our technology is applicable to any crop with xylem vessels and phloem.
Sorry, with?
Xylem. So the tubes that transport the water.
Okay. We're going to put that in the show notes so people can look it up.
Yeah,
Wikipedia.
Exactly.
Okay.
But certain trees don't have those, for example. Okay. But that's more the general technology. Our current sensor is a sensor that you click on the plant stem. So it does have to have a stem of a specific size. Mm. So from chrysanthemum, I'm not sure if the listeners know, but it's a flower. That's big enough, and a tomato is perfect. A tree is a little bit bigger, so then you have to have like big amplifiers to produce a lot of sound. So we're now limited to a specific stem thickness range.
Okay.
But in the end, it should be applicable to any crop. The main difference, except for the hardware, is also the algorithms. So a different crop might have a different inner structure, and mm-hmm. we have to account our algorithms for that.
Okay, cool. So I would say if you're interested into this topic and you want to know more, I'm guessing you'll have vacancies and internships very soon. Many. So go check out Plants Technologies. Check out the website or visit the Find Your Talent Day. I mean, that's always a great advice to go for students. That brings us almost to the end, Berend. So thank you so much for sharing your journey. I think it's remarkable to see what you've achieved since we last met down there in Rotterdam. And I think your story is inspiring. You're changing an industry and you're doing it not in the easiest way. So kudos for that. We are going to follow your journey as you go forward. And hopefully you'll be a scale-up soon. And then we have everything ready to support you on the next phase. But as always, we close with a song that you have selected. Mm-hmm. So would you like to introduce which song that is and why you chose it?
Yes, of course. The song is called Sleepless Nights or Slapeloze Nachten from The Opposites. It talks about, sleepless nights, which sounds very bad, but it's in a good kind of way, right? You have, as an entrepreneur, I think many sleepless nights where you're sort of in the back of your mind, you have a problem and you want to fix it. And then at one night, you sort of get a solution and you just can't get up in the morning fast enough to test it and to go out there. So it's about, getting your hands dirty and tingling feeling for the next morning. So in a very positive kind of way. So I think it's a good song.
Very nice song. So thanks, Berend. And thank you out there for listening to this episode. If you haven't claimed your free ticket for the semi-finals of the Philips Innovation Award yet, this is your moment to do so. So go to fia.nl and claim your ticket for the semi-finals on Thursday, April 25th in the Maasilo, Rotterdam. That's Thursday, April 25th, Maasilo, Rotterdam. And perhaps you will meet the next Berend there. And I think Berend might also be there, so we could do a signing session with you. But you'll find all entrepreneurs that are competing now in the semifinals. So go check it out at fia.nl. Until next time, keep it up.